Whatever.
This is HR Talk. I am the face. We have Ricky Baez and JC here for your human resources entertainment. Ricky and I are in Florida, which means first day of spring, it's 177 degrees. Jim is in Buffalo. They have 177 inches of snow. I feel bad for him.
No, you don't.
No, I'm just kidding.
I knew it. This guy over here. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm JC down in sunny Central Florida. And we have,
ladies and gentlemen,
a special guest.
We welcome back to HR Talk on Templone from the Pain and Painkiller Podcast. Sweet Baby Jay.
What's going on, ladies and gents, and all those in between?
You had a good intro music there, huh?
Hey, man. Listen, I could have dropped a verse, but you know.
You should have. Yeah. That was your opportunity. It came knocking, you just let it go.
No, I didn't let it go. I'm going to grab it later.
Okay. I got you.
Never do that at work. Never grab it later.
So, ladies and gentlemen, I'm JC Crossabow down in sunny Central Florida. We got Ricky Baez and Sweet Baby Jay back on the show.
What's up?
We are set for glory at this point. Ricky, how you doing, brother? Over to you.
I'm feeling a little bit under the weather, but I'm really excited that we finally got Sweet Baby Jay back into the A1A Beachfront Studios. Happy to have you back, sir.
And beachfront?
Well, that's just a name. It's no indication of a beach or a front. That's just the name of the studio.
It's a front, and we're on a beach. It's like, man, what? How far is the sand?
I can find you some sand.
Why do you call it that, Rick?
Old story. That's a long old story dating back to my bachelor party. We can tell that one later.
Oh, man.
We can tell that one later.
What were you doing on the beach right there, buddy?
Nobody was anywhere near any beach. It has nothing to do with the beach, but you'll hear about it later. Oh, Welcome back, man. How you been?
I live an amazing, amazing life. Listen, I'm blessed beyond belief.
Oh, yeah. Really? Beyond belief. Not anybody can believe. You're blessed 1, 2, 3, 4 notches above that.
It is amazing being me. Oh, if I can just sprinkle a little of me on everybody, preferably just the females. But
that's a great segue into our topic today. No, but why? Look, I'm not going to question you as to why you're so happy, but do share. What's going on? Why do you want to sprinkle a little bit of yourself everywhere?
Well, you know what?
Speaking of which, be careful. R. Kelly's in trouble.
Oh.
So be careful with what you do.
Yeah. Listen. 100%. That dude.
Uh-huh. So talk to me. What's been going on with your life?
Everything, man. I mean, listen, every day I wake up, it's a blessing. You know, there's many that didn't get that chance. So I just really see it as a blessing being me to be awake, you know, walking around. And I feel that, one, if everybody brought that energy, that type of vibe to work, the work environment would be a lot better.
And you're right. And there'd be a lot more drug tests.
Yes.
Absolutely right.
So speaking about that, I have my little container here filled with coffee.
Sure. That's so for the folks who can't see, he has what I guess one might like a fishbowl.
Like a mason jar.
No. It's where you put 2 or 3 goldfish. Mm-hmm. And it was full of a substance that looks like coffee, but I'm sure it doesn't have just coffee.
It's a chocolatey drink.
Gotcha. JC, what do you have up there?
It's been a rough weekend. I do have the Gatorade and got to work on those electrolytes. Not a promotion for them by any stretch of the imagination, but it was the cheapest thing I could grab at 7-Eleven before the show started. That's all.
What are you drinking?
Well, I just got water. I'm hurting. I got it.
Really?
I'm worried. Yeah. I don't know. I don't know if I caught the colds from somebody at work, but Friday night I just went straight home, slept all day on Saturday. I was just hurting. Bumming I feel out. A little bit better today though.
But let me ask you guys a question. So the reason why I need to ask this question is I actually took this container to work. And
that big fishbowl looking thing?
Yeah. It keeps the beverage cold.
Okay.
But, you know, I took it out and was drinking it. It was like a drink that I had in there. And people are like, what do you have in this mason jar? Is that – what is that stuff where they used to put in there?
In mason jars?
The alcohol that you make. Moonshine.
Oh, okay.
I was like, are you drinking moonshine? I'm like, no, but how can you tell when someone might possibly be indulging in something extra at work when it might not just be coffee?
He's got a great question there, Rick. How do you tell?
So that's a good question. You can't just assume somebody's drinking alcohol because you're not a doctor. I'm not a doctor. Exactly. Right? You're not an expert in trying to catch people who are drinking alcohol.
Exactly.
But we have to look for behaviors, right? So just you showing up in a mason jar that looks like you have moonshine in it, it's not enough. Now, if you're acting like you're drinking moonshine out of a mason jar, like laughing uncontrollably, climbing on the walls,
twerking.
Yes. Now we have enough reason to start asking you specific questions about your behavior and linking it to what's in your mason jar. So that's what we would do. So tell me about what else happened at work there, Jay, that people are asking you these questions, and you're so specific in trying to find how to get away with that. Come on, talk to me.
Well, no, happened? Nothing else happened that day at work. But, you know, and it's funny, actually going into work, something caught my eye.
Okay.
And which, actually a few things caught my eye. So one, I'm punching in at work, and two of the young ladies punching in behind me decide to slap each other's rear.
Good game. Good game.
Yeah. Good game. Good game. Key and Peele had an episode on that. It was amazing. And I felt like that way because, you know, these girls are slapping each other's butts. And I'm like, now, how much trouble would I be in if I said, batter up or like, so I'm next? But they're doing it. Like, and they're smiling and they looked at me smiling. And I'm like, was that initiation? Am I part of the crew now? I don't know.
So hold on, I need some context here.
Yeah.
So you're in line to clock in. I mean, yes. I'm envisioning there's a line to the clock in.
It was actually just us three.
Just okay. Yeah. So you're clocking in, and out of nowhere, they're not talking. They're just slapping each other.
They were talking to each other about punching in, and then I heard slap. It was a nice slap too. I was like, well, hell. I don't mind if I do. Like,
I'm really glad I have you here. I'm really glad you're on the show, Jay.
But it blew my mind because it's like, what if I was to say, me next, or can I get a swing? You know, I don't think that should be. It's unfair. So
or being part of that group if you did just take a swing as well, right?
And if someone else saw.
So okay, so one question for you. Why do you think is unfair?
Well, because one, I can't just slap somebody's rear and it'd be okay if someone else saw. It will come up.
No, I get it. I get it. But you're saying you think is unfair because you do want to join in, but you're afraid to join in because of what might happen for you joining in, right?
If I was single.
I mean, you should preface the story by saying that.
If I was single, there may have been a slight possibility in which I might have had a desire to join in. But being that there'd be a strong repercussion when I got home and I had to explain to the wife why I've been terminated.
Mrs. Sweet Baby.
Yeah, Mrs.
Or
Sweet
promoted,
Baby.
depending what happens.
Depending
right?
on their status. Yeah, you're in line.
So, okay. So
you're right. Saying he works for Microsoft.
I was going to say, right? What? This goes hand in hand with
what's going on in Microsoft.
That was last week's episode. We talked about Microsoft and the issues they're having when it comes to women being promoted and women not being promoted, and the complaints they file in HR. It's Ooh. Yeah, we'll go back to that because I got to answer your question. Mm-hmm. So what would happen? Obviously, I don't know if they'll like it. Let's say they welcomed you joining into the slapping back and forth, right? Whether it was welcoming or not, if somebody else was to see it, it is going to become an issue.
Yeah.
Right. So leadership needs to step in and address that issue and let them know that although it's all a playful banter, that it's not behavior that should happen in the workplace because that can lead into other.
And it surely would if I get up. But that's another story.
Man, where do you work?
just mechanic shop. I, you know,
that's it?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I do a lot of tune-ups.
Oh, Lord. Yeah, the mason jar is really it's really at the bottom. He drank almost all of it already. Okay.
Yeah,
it's not. Hey, so Rick, you were saying when the weekend started, you went home, you just kind of laid around, and you were real, like, low-key. But you did have enough time to come across a couple Sherm articles that you pointed out to Sweet Baby Jay and I. One in particular, it had something to do with, like, all the things about HR that are wrong. Was that right?
Not that are wrong. I think from what it was a weird article by Sherm. And the article is titled, "Do You Even Work in HR If You've Never ... So I guess they did a survey of the weirdest things that people ask of HR at work. And I started going through these, and they're a little bit odd.
Who wrote the article? Does it say?
That's what I'm trying to find. By Kathy Gerchik. Okay. I'm sorry if I massacred that for you, Kathy. But yeah, so again, it's just talking about how HR is not for the faint of heart because of all the questions that people ask HR. So yeah, so I'm just going to read a couple of points here. One of the points is, had an employee ask you to tell another worker that he's acting mean and needs to stop yelling at everyone.
Wait, what?
That happened. Had an employee ask you to tell another worker that he's acting mean and needs to stop yelling at everyone. That's a complaint that came to HR.
Sweet Baby Jay, Ricky's been mean to me. Can you tell him he's mean? I don't want him doing that anymore.
I need you to do me a favor, all right? Go tell Ricky yourself.
Right?
Go tell Ricky that he's being mean to you, and let me know what goes on, okay? If Ricky punches you in the face, then come to me. But in the meantime, grow up.
Sweet Baby, you're
hired. He needs to be an HR.
You're hired, man. You would be the best. That would be awesome. Here's another one. Told an employee to stop whistling Christmas songs in February. So I guess somebody was upset.
I find myself doing that dumbness. First of all, I do not like Christmas songs at all.
Oh, yeah?
I am not, unless it's Motown or the Jackson 5. Other than that, I don't like Christmas songs. Okay. And so Christmas time, I'm like, I want to rip my ears off.
So this is something you would complain to HR about. Somebody's go happy-go-lucky in February, whistling Christmas stories or Christmas songs.
I am the happiest-go-lucky person regardless at work.
Yes. Regardless. Okay. Yes.
I'm often asked, how do I stay so happy?
Because you're always wondering if you can jump into the conversation when two ladies are smacking their behinds waiting in,
exactly.
in line to clock in.
I'm going
to
step in and get an accepted slap, like intercept it.
Hey, Ricky, Sweet Baby Jay was being mean to those ladies. He was slapping their behinds.
Oh, really? What evidence do you have? Here's a video. Okay, I'll confiscate that. Let me see that video for a little bit.
Yo, good looking now, yo. It's good to have an inside man in HR.
Right? The fixer. Oh, that's hilarious. So I've got another one. Had a vice president of the company set the paper shredder on fire when his tie got stuck in it. So could you imagine walking into the office and then you see the VP of operations just douse the shredder with some kind of gasoline and set it on fire?
I got a lot of questions. So one, how close was the water to the shredder, and did he have to get up with the shredder hanging from his neck in order to get
that
to the water?
Been funny.
Oh, that would have been priceless.
That really would have been
so
funny.
So a situation like that, I'm sorry for being the dick, but before I help, I'm gonna press record. Before I help, I'm gonna press record. I'm like, wait, I'm coming. Well, I gotta catch this because no one's gonna believe me.
I mean, it's for workers' comp purposes, right? People are gonna ask, what exactly happened? Well, I gotta record it. Here's what happened.
Exactly. And then it's gonna be on World Star Hip Hop, yes.
We're gonna send them a bell.
There you go.
All right. So let me see, what else we get? There's a bunch here, and they don't really put them in order of what's the worst to least. But hey, so Jay, have you ever complained to HR about anything?
I have never in life complain to HR about anything. For me personally, situations should be handled in-house first and foremost. If you have an issue with somebody, bring it to that person, whether they're your peer or someone upper. And then if there is no resolution that two grown-ass adults can come to, then you take it to your immediate supervisor. And this is just how I've always done things. You take it to your immediate supervisor and have that person intervene and see maybe someone's being unreasonable in a situation. At that point, if no, you don't get the resolution that you're looking for, I believe that then you should go to HR. These days, people are too babied.
So I get you. I get you. So what? Okay, so I'm going to put myself in that situation. You're telling me I need to handle it with the person, right? And then if I can't do it, then I go to my supervisor. What if the person I have an issue with is my supervisor?
When you say that, I've been there. I've been there.
Maybe I asked the wrong question. Maybe I should be asking, instead of asking you, have you ever complained to HR, has there haven't been any complaints about you to HR? Maybe that's a question I should be asking.
Hell to the yeah.
Okay, got it. Let's hear it. Let's hear it.
Well, I mean...
Go ahead.
Well, there was the email. I think I told you guys about that.
You did. You did.
Yeah, you know, I sent an email for some, and the guy was like, I know this is him. I was like, and then when my supervisor asked me, thinking it was just a joke, I was like, yeah, it was me. Yeah, okay. You're suspended for a day. I was like, well, damn. You could have called me this and told me while I was at home. I could have done a lot of things in my day.
That would have been easier.
Yeah, but, you know, I'm just not a fan of that tattletaling. I've actually had a situation recently at work in which someone complained about one of the people that I work with, that he said something like, my tube is bigger than yours. Now, we work with tubes, and he was just making a lighthearted joke.
Okay.
Someone went and complained. They could have actually went to him and said, hey, listen, I didn't like that.
Yeah.
And so now it creates a tension in the environment off of something that needed – I think it just went too far.
I got you. But – So I agree with what you're saying, that I do believe that today people are too babied and then too coddled, but it's, you still have to have an environment that people would reasonably feel comfortable in, with some kind of avenue of telling somebody in case there's an issue, right? Because I do believe that if I have an issue with somebody, I want to go to them directly, right? And trying to handle that out. If that doesn't work, that's fine. I'm going to escalate it. But not everybody is like you and I, though.
That's very true. But I mean, it just creates, I believe, so much tension to run to HR, because now everyone is walking on eggshells.
Yeah.
You're walking on eggshells. You're afraid. Look, I mean, these days, can you really tell some? I tell strangers all the time at work, you look gorgeous today. Love your smile. Love your earrings. But at what point can someone say, you know what? When he said he loved my smile, he looked at my lips. Yeah, it's a part of your smile.
Well, that's where the reasonable part comes in, right? Because if you say just like that, if I got a complaint about you, right, saying, hey, he, I don't know, harassed me, made me feel uncomfortable because he said I look good today, I would ask that person, so how did he say it? What was the intent? Were they being like really mean about it? Were they being, throwing some innuendos on it? And if they can't tell me that, you know what? Take the compliment and go away. Right, because it's got to rise to the level to where they're reasonably upset within reason, right? And I have to look at your intent. So yes, we do have a lot of those come down to the pike, but we send them back because again, there's no rhyme or reason for them to get upset about it, right? Because you're right, I don't want people walking around on eggshells.
And,
so yeah,
and I feel that's the environment that we're going towards, unfortunately.
We're there.
I like my voice. Gosh damn
it. What about you, JC? Have you complained to HR?
No. I've never taken anything to them. There may have been things that were brought to them about me in the past, and I've always been the person to step up to the plate and come to the table with nothing but facts. And then next thing you know, it goes away. And sometimes it comes down to perception. It comes down to misinterpretation, and a lot of times other people have nefarious desires, you know?
Wait, I gotta go to Google. What the heck, nefarious?
they have ill intent. They have a desire to try to, quote, take you down. Maybe they want your job. Maybe they want the project you're on, something of that nature. So they go to that extent. There's been situations in the past, but nothing I'm ashamed of, nothing I'm really going to talk about right now in depth.
I got a question, though.
Yeah.
So you guys work in HR, right? Now, we are three gentlemen, very nice gentlemen here, and yet none of us really go to HR, correct? Is there a percentage of HR complaints that are there more females making complaints? Are there more males? Is it across the board? Like, how are you guys seeing this? not to ask a sexist question, but who are
a legitimate question. Yeah. I'm sure the EEOC tracks this, so I don't have any numbers to back that up. But I know where I work, it's mixed.
Oh, it's really mixed?
It is mixed. It's mixed. We got people mostly the looking at me up and down, kind of making me feel creepy, normally are females that are submitting those complaints. Mm. And the guys that are did you just say,
like that?
Oh, okay.
I wasn't looking you up and down like this.
I know, that was creepy. So I've never filed an HR complaint until today.
I was only licking my lips because they were dry. Oh, damn. My God.
So in a room full of independent contractors.
Now you want to.
Holy shit. I lost my train of thought. Oh, no. Yeah. So normally, the complaints that I get that are males, it's either they're upset that their manager did something, or they're upset that somebody else is being held to a different standard than they are. So, to be honest, I see a pretty good mix. But that's just what I've seen in my industry.
With that mix, there are different types of complaints.
Of course.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not too many females like hitting on dudes at work like, oh, I see a bulge.
That I've seen those. I've seen those complaints. Complaints.
Really?
I've seen those complaints.
I've seen those.
Complaints, yeah. No, complaints.
Because I work in a cafeteria looking for bulges.
No, I am not.
Is that bacon?
What? I'm so glad you're back. No, but I had a complaint a couple of years ago. This one employee got into an argument with a random person at a 7-Eleven 2 miles down the road. And then on his way in, he was getting coffee. He stopped at the 7-Eleven, got into an argument with somebody. It got really bad. Then he showed up to work, wanting to file a complaint against that person. And I'm looking at him, I'm like, so who's this person? I don't know. They're over at 7-Eleven. Are they an employee? No. I can't do nothing. You better call the cops. Tell me about it.
And that's the thing. So,
and he was upset because I didn't do anything about it. I'm like, there's nothing I can't do. He doesn't work here.
So can he come to HR like, hey, listen, man, my wife, she burned the rice 3 times. when does it stop? Are you submitting complaints about your wife in HR? Like, hey, she didn't let me get any sleep last night. He's a beast.
but you know, sometimes people just need someone to listen to them. So I do sit back and I listen to what they have. I mean, that's how I know all these stories. Here's a good one. This was about 4 years ago. We had this one lady come to my office. She was really upset because somebody took her dinner from the fridge.
Oh, I see that all the time.
No. But you don't know about this one.
Okay, no.
You don't know about this one. She was so upset, and she just wanted me to fully understand how special this steak dinner was. Mm. So here's what she did. She said that her husband is an aspiring chef. Her husband spent a week searching for the right cut of ribeye to actually purchase it, season it to the right to the right taste bud, throw it on the grill for her, and then cut it up into nice pieces over pilaf rice and some vegetables. Put it in one of those microwavable plates to bring them to work. And how dare somebody come in and steal it?
Making me hungry.
Me too. Buddy, I'm like, who is this lady? I want to go back.
No, she wrote a 5-page statement, 3 of which was describing how her husband made that steak for her.
It's a freaking menu.
And I know. And she wanted me to go search the dumpster, search in everybody's bags. And I'm like, I'm not going to do that. I'm sorry. If you know of anybody who you think might have stolen that, if you told this story that you just told me about how your husband made it, I need to know who you told it to, because if you made them hungry as much as I am right now, they're suspect. Right. So let's have a conversation with them.
What she needs to do is continue promoting how her husband makes food and sell the damn stuff.
Yeah. But look. Here's my question. My question is, if you are, just by the way she explained that whole process to me, I'm thinking, wow, this is a family that really cares about their food. They really care about their steak. Why would you spend so much time to purchase a steak, season a steak, and cook it,
and then bring
it to work to be heated up in a microwave? Hey. You know what? You deserve to get that steak stolen.
Oh, man.
You deserve it.
Did you tell her that?
No.
That would have been hilarious.
I can't say that.
I would have loved to have been there and see her. Oh, you mother.
I bet you put A1 on it too, huh? Don't you?
Yeah, hey, wait.
Glad.
I like the damn A1, all right?
Jeez. You put A1 on your steak?
Sometimes, yeah. It depends. I like A1. Hey, listen, I put A1 on my ladies too.
Oh my God. This is derailing really fast.
So while we are talking about some off the wall type topics, I know you still have maybe a few more in your sherm list there, but I've got one that I got to hit you both with. I did not share this before the show.
Go ahead.
So the story broke on the 14th of March this past week. This is from WSOCTV.com. The director of human resources for Richmond County charged with trafficking opium is the title of the story here. States that the Richmond County Sheriff's Office said officials arrested a woman for felony trafficking opium, among other charges. Deputies said they arrested Lori Lynn Tadlock, 49, after a two-month investigation with the Moore County Sheriff's Office. Richmond County's official website lists Tadlock as its director of human resources. Investigators said they received information that she was receiving the same type of prescriptions from different prescribers. They said she did it with two different medical providers on two different occasions. Quote, on Tuesday, I was made aware that the county HR director, Ms. Lori Tadlock, had been arrested on serious criminal charges, end quote. County manager Brian Land said in a statement. So as a result, Ms. Tadlock is currently on leave pending investigation of the situation by the county, and there's no further information to provide at this time. Tadlock is charged with felony obtained prescription by misrepresentation, felony trafficking opium, misdemeanor, simple possession of SCH2CS, and felony insurance fraud. Officials said she was arrested and released on a $75,000 bond. Her first court appearance will be March 28th.
Mm-mm. I can't do it.
I don't even know where to begin.
She's an entrepreneur. Yes, I get. Well, or was this for her own personal use?
She was trafficking.
Oh, she was trafficking?
Yeah. So
she's quite the, listen, her job needed to pay her more. She needed to seek other sources of income.
I mean,
but so in investigation currently underway, nothing's officially, there's no conclusion here yet. Court will begin March 28th. So right now it's just that good discussion, right? We're not sure, right?
Well, we are, right? Because if they arrested her, they have enough evidence to put her in handcuffs. So I guess the county put her on leave while she resolves this issue, but the authorities thought they had evidence enough to put her in handcuffs. So the investigation is over.
So here's a question to you. Is she innocent till proven guilty, or is she guilty by social media until proven innocent in a court of law?
So let's talk about work, right? So at work, because of her position and because of what she's being accused of, an organization, depending on what the charges are, they don't have to wait until the official investigation or the charges are over before they can let somebody go, depending on what those charges are.
Question.
Yes.
She's on leave. Is that on leave with pay?
It depends on the organization. It depends, because there's no law, at least in the state of Florida. What county is this, JC? What state? Do you know?
It said Richmond County, WSOCTV. I think that they're in Virginia, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay. So
I may stand corrected.
Assuming they don't have a state ordinance or a local ordinance that says while somebody is on leave, they get paid, the organization is under no obligation to pay them while they're on leave. Mm. And because this is she was placed on leave because of the arrest, it's a personal leave, so I highly doubt there's any pay involved.
Mm.
So let's assume not. Let's assume that they're not. But that's common. When somebody gets arrested, we put them on leave until we kind of figure out what happens. But if the charges are egregious enough that they bring enough negative press to the organization, we can go ahead and pull the trigger and fire the person.
I stand corrected. It's Carolina, by the way.
Okay. So... Wow. Yeah, so this person apparently was not making enough as an HR director. So she or he thought it was a good idea to go ahead and traffic opium. Yeah. All right.
Hey, there's people doing all kinds of things. So the question here is, are you guilty in the court of law, or are you guilty upon.
Yeah, so you're sure innocent. You're innocent until proven guilty, right? At the end of the day,
one would think. Let's ask. I don't know if we could get him on the line, but let's ask R. Kelly.
we don't have enough time for him crying.
Yeah, because
we really don't.
Yeah, yeah.
Look, he's doing it.
Now, hey, listen.
I'm glad I'm recording this.
You are guilty in this day and age. You are guilty by what the social norms are. You know, when people think you're guilty, guess what, brother? It's a damn shame, but you're guilty.
Yeah.
You know, and you have to actually. I mean, do you really want to walk around the office when like, oh, that's the opium lady?
Yeah.
You know.
So, like right now, they just like you said, they didn't fire her. They put her on leave pending the investigation. They never state whether or not it's paid leave or unpaid leave. But with the court date coming this next week, you know, things could pan out.
So let's make believe this is not a government entity. Let's make believe this is a private organization.
Sure.
Let's say that she is on leave for a month and a half. And in that month and a half, she's exonerated. They found no evidence to show that she was doing this. Do you bring her back to work?
I would say yes, because then you terminate her. She's going to bring a case upon you.
For what?
Well, the unjust termination. I don't know what the word is.
No, it's if she was to bring up any case, it would be a wrongful termination. Mm-hmm. But I don't know if she'll win, right? Because of her high profile position as the HR director, you got to have some credibility. The credibility, although it wasn't proven in court. Remember, just because it wasn't proven in court, it doesn't mean it didn't happen. It just means there wasn't enough evidence to convict.
Some stuff back.
I do not sound like R. Kelly.
He said, I got off on that. First of all, let me tell you something.
That's a bad thing to say.
I was going to just say that. Let me tell you something, y'all. When you, like, this person, if they're like, look, I got off on that. I should have my job.
You should not be saying that.
There is certain things that in today's, you shouldn't say things like, I got off on that, or this person's a rat, or, you know.
They're going to make it into a song.
Yeah, certain things you should just not say because it just comes off as that you were guilty, but you got off.
Yeah.
So, no, I think that, one, this person that was, did that, is accused of this, she should write it to the wheels fall off. I did not do it.
I agree.
You did not do it.
But I agree. But then the leader of the business is stuck between a rock and a hard place, right? So I bring her back to work. Now, this is a position that you need trust. You need credibility in order to be successful in the position. You don't have that now because of what JC is saying. The court of public opinion was already in session and over and done with.
Well, you know, if I am the owner, let me explain to you how I would play this.
Uh-huh. Let's hear this.
My talk to this person, look, you've done a lot of good things for us here, but the negative press that you've brought to the business is not anything that I can explain for or handle, but I appreciate what you've done for us. I'm going to get you a job someplace else. Mm-hmm. I'm going to put in a good word for you so you can get this job, all right? And then I'm going to tell that owner, yo, you do what you want once this person comes in. Just hire him for 30 days for me, please, so I can get out of here. It happens, right? This is things that really happen.
Yeah, but are you going to be honest with that other person? Are you going to say, why are you letting her go? Oh, she was just accused of the drug trafficking.
I am going to tell them, yes. I'm going to tell them.
And you're putting your name behind this person? Okay, Jay.
No, but that's the thing. I'm telling the other person, look, this is the issue that we had with her. She was found not guilty. You can take her on. And you can just, I need to get her out of here.
Okay.
But at the same time, once you can not let her pass probation.
He's cutting a deal just to not look like a liar.
Yeah, that's called 2019.
That's great.
It's 2019. That's where we're at. That's where we're at.
Killing me, man.
Listen, man, you sent me an article, right? And when I say this is 2019, this is where we're at.
Mm-hmm.
The dress codes changed over the years.
Oh, yes. This is a good one.
Yeah. People are now wearing all different kinds of things to work. So, like, for instance, new businesses that are being constructed, I think it's pretty much mandatory that they have to have spots for bikes, right? For people that ride to work.
I got you. Okay.
So now, are people really riding to work in full business suits? I know in New York, yes, there are. you know, here in Florida, is that always the case? Now, I saw a lady once again at Punching In. You know, she punches into work and she's walking in front of me.
Uh-huh. Spandex.
She has on. How did you know? But it wasn't just the fact that it was spandex.
I need to go to his job. What the hell is going on over there? Oh my God. Yeah,
I work at Rachel's.
I'm going to send them a bill.
Yeah. So, exactly.
Wait,
you
said Rachel's? That's a Mediterranean restaurant chain up here. That's why I'm asking.
Oh, well, hey, good food.
Is it a little really? Bit different down there?
Tiny bit.
Yeah. Let me tell you something. There's a lot of things you'd want to eat at Rachel's.
Oh, my God.
The ladies steaks, gentlemen, the steaks so are sorry. Amazing. I'm going to let you know. The steaks are amazing.
I am so sorry, hey, HR folks.
I'm talking about the steak. Okay. What are we talking about here? The prongs are delicious. There's a lot of things you'd want to eat at Rachel's.
That's where the A1 steak sauce comes into
exactly.
play.
Exactly.
Uh-huh. Sure. Go ahead, man.
Young lady is walking in front of me in spandex. I get it. You're working out. Cool. But yet, she must have put a lot of powder on herself. Because from her midsection, there was just this big white puff that was coming. She had on black spandex, mm-hmm. but there was this big white residue
okay.
coming from the crotch, the midsection of her tights. Now, I'm seeing this and I'm like, should I say something to her? Like, excuse me.
I'm sorry. At what point are you paying attention to the clock that you're clocking in on?
Well, I already clocked in.
Oh, okay.
And I'm walking behind her.
You seem to
her.
Be paying attention to everything else around the time clock except the time clock.
You're really just like, ding. but once, and I'm walking behind her, I'm like, and I know this lady. Yeah. Like, I don't know her, but I know her that we see her. But it's not a situation where I'm comfortable to say, hey, I'm not sure if you know this, but you have like a little cloud coming out between your, you know, and if I was to say to her, hey, you have something on the back of your tights in the midsection, do I get in trouble for that? Am I just looking out for her? And why is she wearing that?
Okay. So two things. Again, it depends on your intent.
It's probably 90 things.
It depends on your intent. If you go up to her and say, look, I didn't mean to look, but I just happened to look. I just want to let you know there's something going on there. I just wanted to bring it to your attention. That's it. And you'll walk away. She still complains and she tells me that sign went down. I ask you, you tell me that sign went down. No harm, no foul. Right? No harm, no foul. But if you start doing any innuendos into it, right? Say, hey, girl, that looks good, blah, 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 blah. Now you're going to get in trouble.
No, it didn't.
What I'm saying, that's how you get in trouble. Now, back to the dress code. That article, I think that was by NPR. I could be wrong. I think it was by NPR. And they're talking about how casual dress has really changed in the past 20 years. But you're right. In the past 20 years or so, it has changed, but not much for positions that are customer facing, right? Mm. So if you're talking to a customer on a regular basis, then yeah, you do have to have some kind of a dress code. But if you're in the back of the house, or if you're in a call center where you don't talk to a customer, there's argument there to say, well, you could be a little bit more relaxed. The question is, how relaxed can you be? Because what you deem as relaxed could be somebody else's a different definition of relaxed. To you, it could be shorts, flip-flops, and a button-down shirt. To somebody else, it's just showing up in flip-flops.
Yeah, with nothing,
that's it. Nothing else. Right?
And a bow tie. So let me ask you a question, right? Uh-huh. So now some places are allowing jeans in the workplace, correct?
Correct.
All right. So now what is seen as respectable jeans? I'm going to stand up. I don't know if you guys can see this.
I saw it when you walked in.
Look at my jeans. Wait.
You got to
take the camera.
Go ahead. Okay. Check this out, JC.
So look at
these are like $90 designer jeans with the rips in the right spots.
No, look at that. He looks like he was attacked by a Wolverine on the way in here. Look at that.
You know? So you say jeans are allowed. You know, you work for Microsoft.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And jeans are allowed. And these are the jeans that I wear to work. And I don't have on the long johns under it.
Okay.
So it's like peekaboo, sausage for breakfast. You know? You know?
No, I don't. So
I don't know if I want to know.
I don't know either. So, okay. So here's the thing, right? If you allow genes, whatever you allow, you have to give an example of what is allowed about that and what is not, right? So if we're going to allow genes in the workplace, you got to keep it respectable. So obviously no holes. They have to fit and they have to be in good working order.
What it says fits, because females' genes can fit one way.
Or I got the you. Other. No, I get it. It needs to fit normally.
What's normal?
Well, that's the thing.
By today's standards, what's normal?
You see, but
if I come to work in skinny jeans,
uh-huh,
and you're like, excuse me, sir, but is the sausage for breakfast?
Like, but here's the thing. Here's the thing, right? So you write down it's got to fit normally, but you don't write down specifics about what that means, because the more detail you get, the bigger hole you leave for somebody else to exploit. So what you do is you say it's got to fit normal, and then you have a conversation about what that is, and whatever is abnormal, it cannot be offensive. So somebody wearing really, 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 really tight jeans, like they're so tight that your circulation is cutting, it's being cut off, but then nobody else is working. Why are they not working? Because they're looking at those tight jeans. Yeah, that's an issue. That's abnormal. We have to address it.
But this is the thing now, right? So now we're talking about how things are becoming more lax.
Correct. Yeah.
When it comes to business attire. But let's not get it twisted. Business attire can be a little provocative. You know, you have see-through shirts.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And listen, I promote all that provocativeness. I like a reason to stay awake at work. You know?
Especially at the time clock.
Yes, yes, yes. Apparently, I'm looking at everything.
Why, Jay, why'd you clock in 20 minutes late? I saw you a half hour earlier at the time clock.
I heard her discussing what she was going to wear to work tomorrow, and I had to see it.
I knew it. Woo! So it's the rules today about what business casual or business attire is has changed. But you just have to really be more detailed, not very detailed, but more detailed than before about what relaxed is. So, again, the jeans, no holes, no frays. They got to be in good working order. They have to look good. And, again, good is a general sense because, again, as soon as you start being specific, you leave a lot of things out. Mm-hmm. So the other thing is shorts. Are shorts allowed? So it depends. So now, you know.
What are shorts?
What are exactly.
Because Daisy Dukes are some shorts that I love to see.
But not at work.
Apparently, JC, too. JC's like, yeah, I agree.
I know, right? For those of you who can't see, he's smiling from ear to ear. Obviously, Daisy Dukes are not allowed, but I have
depending
some.
Depending on the workplace, if you work at Rachel's, the restaurant.
Well, that's or Hooters. I mean, okay, so that's a perfect example. What about Hooters or the Away House? Shorts is the uniform, mm-hmm. Right? So you don't have to worry about dress code. They have a uniform code that they have to follow.
So let me ask you a question.
Here
right?
we go. Here we
yes.
go.
So we speak of a place like Hooters or some of these restaurants that require the females to wear pretty provocative uniforms, you know, uh-huh. really tight shirts where their girlfriends are standing up at attention.
Yep.
And their Daisy Dukes are looking like, yes, this is on the menu.
Yep.
You're working with these ladies and saying, mm-hmm. you look really nice today. Or you make any comment or whatever. Are you now in trouble? But yet this is what the business promotes.
So how are you saying it? Again, intent is key.
I got A1 sauce dripping from my mouth.
Okay, so now you have an issue because I don't think they serve A1 in Hooters. So first of all, you're bringing outside food into the restaurant. That's number one. Number two, it's if you say it in a genuine, nice way, you're not going to get in trouble, or you should not get in trouble. But remember, that's part of the uniform, right? So that I'm glad we're talking about that because that being part of the uniform, that's something we've talked about here. It's called a BFOQ, a bona fide occupational qualification, where that's when you kind of could break the rules a little bit when it comes to a Title VII because of the nature of the job. But I haven't seen this come through, but I'm pretty sure because that restaurant has a lot of provocative dress allowed. That I guess it gives a green light to other people to be a little bit more
risque,
gutsy,
in
right?
Comments, yeah.
In their comments. So the answer is no, that does not give you a green light. That is business. You still have to treat everybody with respect.
No, I agree.
So you do. So
I actually don't even like those kind of, I'm like, I'm not interested. I've never went to, I went to Hooters once just because they said the chicken wings are great.
They are pretty good though. You don't like them? Really? Okay, so where's your favorite wing spot in Orlando?
I'm not really a huge wing guy, you know?
Wow.
I'm not really a huge wing guy. I mean, if I go to some place where they have wings, I like my wings up triple fried, very dry. And I like the meat to be crispy. And
extra crispy,
I've sent my wings back like 3 or 4 times because they're not crispy enough.
Oh, you like them burnt to a crisp.
There you go. How do you like yours, JC?
I do prefer a good hot barbecue wing that's charred on the back end. That's one of my favorites. I also enjoy that Carolina Gold. Again, with that good solid char on there.
There you go.
You take me to the origination of the wings here at the Anchor Bar. I'll just get them hot. Just the old school way. But yeah, Carolina Gold or hot barbecue with char. Now we're talking.
Go to a wing spot, you know, where the ladies are just provocative, and as you're, you know, putting in your order, you lean back and say, charred on the back end, and look at her shorts.
I mean, so are you an employee or you're a customer?
Let's say you're an employee.
Who is a customer.
An employee that is off the clock now ordering, and you've been liking this young lady, but she doesn't know it, and you lean back and say, charred on the back end, and then lick your lips.
You're asking for trouble there, bud. You're asking for trouble. You know, it's in those restaurants. I've never worked there in that one, but I can only assume that like little mild risque comments are okay from a customer. I may be speaking out of turn, but I mean that's the environment they set up, right? So they have to expect little mild banter. So I'm pretty sure the managers trained the waitstaff on what the line is. Exactly. Whatever they feel is okay, they've crossed the line. Now the managers can step in and actually take action. But you can't get offended if somebody says a sly remark, and this is the place you chose to work. You can't have thin skin working there.
So you can't say something like, "Do you guys have any jizz sauce? Would you like some?"
My God.
No.
I'm done. So yeah, back to that article about dress code.
There's actually another tough article that just hit this week. How serious do you guys want to get?
Go ahead, let's go. Throw it in there.
We can laugh at it too.
Yeah, we can laugh at it. Yeah.
I don't know about that. So this is a EEOC oriented article. This came out on the 13th this past week here, published in USA Today. It was also further covered by CNN and many other sources. 19 workers at a UPS distribution center in Ohio are suing their employer, claiming management at the facility enabled, tolerated, and purposefully promoted and encouraged a culture of racism and racially discriminatory conduct. Quote, African American employees come to work each day not knowing whether a racist comment or conduct will confront them. The 46-page lawsuit details a pattern of racist incidents and discriminatory behavior that workers, some of whom have been at the company for more than 2 decades, witnessed at the distribution center in Ohio. In July 2016, the lawsuit alleges one of the defendants created 2 nooses and hung them over the desk of an African-American employee while a supervisor and other white co-worker made jokes. Although that employee was fired, the victim was told not to speak about the incident, that he could be disciplined for taking photographs of the nooses. Days later, the suit claims another African-American employee received text messages from white co-workers in a group chat regarding potential lottery winnings that contained reference to hangings, such as, if you feel down and out, the noose is loose, and, quote, can we buy another noose with the winnings, end quote. And this continues. The suit continues to claim in September 2016, a white employee refused to deliver a package to a predominantly African-American neighborhood and used racial slurs to describe the area. There are numerous incidents that this story continues to outline from there. Seems like there's some big issues at UPS up in Ohio, and that was published as of the 13th of this month.
Hey, you know what? I feel there's no room for douchebaggery.
That's exactly what's happening.
Clean house.
But it sounds like it's a systemic issue. It's not just 1 or 2 employees. It sounds there's a culture out there that this is okay.
Culture is something that is allowed.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. You know? That's what it's because it's so much the news hanging over the desk, group chat, and then there's one. See, that's what happens when, look, I give people the benefit of the doubt, and I really try to see the good in people. But if you start really slow, really low in the joking and banter, as soon as you start moving that goalpost, you're going to get to this.
Mm-hmm.
And then people's true colors come out.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when you start seeing like, whoa, I didn't know John was like that. I didn't know Pete was like this. And then you get crap like that. That's leadership and HR's fault for allowing that to happen.
So here's a quote from UPS, just real quick, to piggyback to further feed the conversation here. UPS spokesman Dean Faust said in a statement, since that time in 2016, the company has participated in remedial actions in cooperation with the Ohio Civil Rights Commission so that employees are trained and our operators are monitored now to ensure we maintain a positive work environment free of harassment.
Yeah, but that's because they're forced to do so.
Exactly.
They're forced to do so, right? If you really cared about your employees, you cared about the environment, you cannot tell me that as a leader in that organization or the head of HR, you did not know that was happening.
How about this? So they've put out these courses that everyone has to take, all right?
Mm-hmm.
But yet, let's not act like it did not happen. Let's say Bob, he, you know, did the noose thing.
Yeah.
And yet I have to come to work every day and report to Bob. I know Bob's true colors.
Yeah.
But yet I have to report to him every day. And Bob knows that I was the one that put it out that this happened. Do I possibly act ignorant to the fact that Bob is going to be retaliatory?
Yeah. Next thing you know, you don't get the job.
The promotion.
The promotion. You don't get a raise. So now what? Again, the system. It's a culture that was allowed to exist. You hit the nail right in the head.
Yeah. So I really do feel that in a case like this, and I am never one for that would scream termination. But at this point, there needs to be people moved around, and some heads need to roll.
You wouldn't scream termination for that one?
For me, still, you know, we all have lives. We all have families we need to feed despite our beliefs, whether they be positive or negative. We still have families to feed. So, no, I'm not one that's going to scream termination. But I will scream the fact that you need to get your shit together. You're no longer going to be at this location. I'm going to put you someplace else. And that's going to be your last chance.
Put where?
It doesn't matter where. Listen, if
it
I
does.
Put,
no, it does. This
is the thing. I'm going to put you
uh-huh.
at a location. You may have had to travel 5 minutes to get to work now,
yeah.
but because you were a jerk, now you have to drive a half an hour. And guess what? If you don't like it, don't do these things that you want, that you were doing.
Okay, I got you. So now I am the employee working in that new location, and now this person's being racist to me because...
Terminated.
Okay, so at that point...
Terminated.
Terminated him off the bat, man.
Mm,
off the bat.
We all have, you know, lives we need to... And I'm
just, I got you.
But you know what? Listen, this is your second and last chance.
Okay.
I'm sending you to a new location where you get the opportunity to start off fresh. Screw up over there, and you are screwed.
So you're
there's a question there for you, Ricky.
I get it. With
the consultations that you've done in the past, do you see with like a lot of the handbooks and a lot of the internal policy that there is like a 1-2-3 strike rule like that? Or due to the egregious nature of the accusation, it could just be a one-and-done situational?
I'll tell you what, absent any union contract, absent any other type of employment contract, just a regular at-will employment environment, if I have a client that has that happening and this person has allowed that type of egregious behavior, it's for me, there's no second chances.
Yeah, I can believe it.
And here's why. Because this act was so egregious. And if I decide to move them somewhere else, I cannot put the lives or the work environment of other innocent employees in jeopardy because now I'm moving this problem over there. My job here is to recommend that the problem gets removed from the organization altogether. And I get what you're saying. They got families. I completely get that. They should have thought about that before they did what they did.
I do agree with that as well. So I do believe in a second chance. But at the same time, I do 100% see where – this isn't a case of that ass got a roll.
So this incident goes back to 2016. There's been a lot of remediation, a lot of change within the organization. Certain employees have been fired, and now this lawsuit is definitively still moving forward with 19 coworkers pushing forward on that.
As they should.
Speak to that. That's exactly where I'm going.
But my thing is, it's UPS is saying that we are working to make this better for our employees, but they also said we're working at the direction of the EEOC and whatever they put forward. I thank you for doing that, UPS. I really appreciate it. My question is, what are you going to do going forward so that this ugly monster doesn't pop his head up again later on, and you don't have to do this whole kumbaya sessions without the help of the EEOC? They really need to take a step back and take a look at that culture and who they're allowing to work there.
So,
and what are they allowing them to do?
The employees are specifically seeking, I quote, declaratory and injunctive relief, end quote, concerning the alleged discrimination, compensatory damages exceeding $25,000, legal fees, and an unspecified amount of punitive damages, to deter future unlawful conduct, end quote.
Yep. What they saying? Pay now or pay later.
I mean, it is. It is. But later. I tell you,
don't be a jerk. Like something, if you are aggressively being a jerk to anyone, you're putting not just yourself at jeopardy, but you're putting the organization at jeopardy. And I feel that as I am also a person that believes in that second chance, like, hey, listen, maybe you didn't know. And when I say that second chance, I'm saying like a one or two time thing and no one brought it up and now someone brought it up. But if this is a pattern of behavior where you're putting nooses and, let's say blackface or things that are, direct towards hurting somebody's feelings, you know what? Goodbye.
Yeah,
you didn't care about this person's
exactly.
family. You
exactly.
didn't care about the other or your own family. This is the attitude that you bring, and also just to show you how extreme things get. So this is a real bully mentality that takes place at work, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The things that these people were doing. Now, let's just say, God forbid, we cannot act that these things don't happen. But people do retaliate and come in and get, with firepower and do very negative things at work. I will never, it's just horrible. But people are pushed to a breaking point and respond incredibly negatively, even though they've put in complaints and yet they went unresponded to.
Mm-hmm.
Who's the wrong person here? Who's the wrong person? Now, yes, the person is wrong for what they've done, but yet, no one addressed the serious issue at hand.
That's what happened in Microsoft for the last week. But the last thing that we covered, 8,600 women file a complaint against Microsoft because they're not getting promoted like their male counterparts, and they're not getting bonuses like their male counterparts. And they've highlighted three specific examples to when they went to HR and nothing happened. That's what I'm saying. In this particular case with UPS, I don't know what's happened since then, but I do know that if I was that VP of operations overseeing that area, I'm going to call the head of that place in Ohio. Hey, we got to have a conversation. What the hell are you allowing over there?
Well,
guess what? You're gone.
Exactly.
I'm putting somebody else in there.
Because they say shit rolls.
Yeah,
downhill.
Buddy.
Well, guess what? We got to change what's going on at the top
Absolutely.
Of the hill.
Absolutely. You need to address it with that director at that place on how come he or she let that happen at their location.
100%.
19 people? One person is different. You got 19 people. All this is happening to the point that you have an employee who refuses to go to an African-American neighborhood? Dude, I mean, come
on. How do you do that?
I'm telling you, I know how do you do that. Because he feels that way altogether. He used to be able to still deliver to the neighborhood, because the culture is the way it is. Oh, I can speak my mind now? Everybody's joking about this. So you know what? I don't feel comfortable about this. Let the truth come out. And it did. But I'm glad it did, because now they're cleaning it up.
Yeah, yeah.
Now it's being cleaned up.
Listen, in today's culture, you are seeing a lot of true colors. And I appreciate it. I appreciate it because you know what? I see you for who you are and what you really are. And you know what? I choose to take myself out of the equation. You know, and it's good. I can invite some of my coworkers to my house. Hey, you want to come by for a drink? And when they don't show up, I feel great.
Because now you know.
Because now I know.
Now you know.
And when I show up to their thing and I see and hear the things or the way, you know, what was going on around, you know what? Now I know. And I appreciate honesty.
So thank you for that, because I think you and I talked about this, or we talked about this on the podcast before, but I did have a conversation with my students a couple of years ago. We started talking about racism, and would you want to hear somebody's thoughts if they were racist?
Yes.
And so my students are like, no, we don't want to hear that. I'm like, why not? Why wouldn't you want to know who they are?
I want to know.
I know, me too.
I want to know.
But I want to know who I'm dealing with.
Well, exactly. Now, because there's a lot going on. For example, one of my previous supervisors, who I thought was just the greatest guy. I still think he's a great guy. But now, ever since 2016, his views has changed incredibly dramatically. And he is very much to the right.
Got you.
And his comments are quite ridiculous at times. And I wish I knew this about him from back then. I personally wouldn't treat him any differently, because he was a supervisor also. But yet I would maneuver with him a little differently, because now I know his true colors.
I got you.
So now I definitely maneuver with him differently, knowing his true colors. He's still a cool dude, but different cool.
But that's why I want to know. That's why I want to know up front, regardless of political identity. I want to know what you really feel in your heart. Mm-hmm. And if you really want to look, if I want my freedom of expression, I have to want to allow the person who thinks the opposite of what I feel to have that freedom of expression as well. Right. So obviously as I protect my freedom of speech, I got to protect everybody else's. So with that said, I am happy to hear what somebody's thoughts are with racism. Why can't you? That's a freedom of speech as well.
To condemn that person?
Yeah. Why can't I?
That is true.
I just can't shut you down. That right? But just how you can tell me that, hey, I feel this way, I have to allow it. I can call you an asshole for it. Wait, you can't say that. Well, yes, I can. Because that's just my freedom of expression. But that's when you have to test those waters, right? So
everybody going to be up in HR.
Well, I know.
Everybody like this. Kumbaya, like, I know you feel away, but you better hold his hand and sing kumbaya. We shall overcome.
Oh, now you're singing. Now we're singing on this. JC, do we have to pay royalties for that?
Oh, man.
We got to pay royalties for
we'll
kumbaya.
We'll be okay. We'll be okay. Okay. He did all right.
That was a stripper version. We shall overcome.
What's happening here, Rachel? It's holy. But I would want to know, but not everybody has to stomach for that, right? Because they just don't want to hear it. Again, being coddled. It's everybody's being coddled. Nobody wants to think anything or hear anybody has a difference of opinion that may hurt their ideology. And then that becomes an issue. JC and I were on a podcast about a month ago where we started talking about this very same scenario. We started talking about, what's that guy? Jesse Smollett? Is that his name?
Yeah. What a jerk. What a jerk. How do you get, what is that? A hate crime charge on yourself? Like, what a dick. Like,
what is it, Friday? How'd you get fired on your day off? Exactly,
like, dude, because he felt like he wasn't getting paid enough. Well, now you're paid zero. How about that? Everyone thinks you're a jerk.
I'm laughing just because the way you put that is the first time I've ever heard it put that way. How'd you file a hate crime and then get it put on yourself?
Like, the dude is an idiot. Yeah. Beyond belief. And no, so not only that, but he was riding with that story. He was like, my wife is texting me.
she heard about the time card.
We're supposed to be at a pool party.
Better hurry up.
But listen, this is my thing, right? So you file these charges, and then I do believe he's gay. I'm not sure. But he was so, you know, trying to promote this story. And he said, I'm like the gay Tupac.
He said that?
He did say that.
He said, I didn't know that.
He said, I am the gay Tupac.
What does that mean?
Well, because, you know, Tupac got shot and then he was still, you know, he was still there the first time. Not the last time.
Tupac was real, though. I mean,
Tupac. But that's the thing. He was promoting himself like, I am real. This is here. This happened to me and I'm still standing.
I did not know he said that.
He said, I am the gay.
Hold on. JC got a question.
Yeah, go ahead.
He looks confused.
Tupac's dead.
Well, no, but this is the thing. This is from the first time that he was referring to the first time. Tupac got shot.
It's a Mandela effect.
Okay.
So maybe this may happen to him when he goes to jail, you know, because Tupac didn't survive the last one, you know. So, but not wishing that. But
didn't?
The thing is that he said this. He was riding with the story. And then come to find out, you had so much supporters, but yet it was all false. And I love how the story came out. When they found the dudes purchasing the ski mask, and then you see the ski mask with the two holes in it. Oh, I just could not stop laughing. I could not. And then he worked with one of the dudes on one of the shows, and they show the guy in the background. Oh, classic.
You know what? I got a question because I did see those videos. So it's, and please forgive me if I'm wrong. Has anybody ever purchased a ski mask for skiing?
Very true.
Here's why. Because I saw that video, right? And I saw these two guys purchasing the ski mask and I think the noose also as well. As the clerk, wouldn't you have some flags going off? Like,
so is there a convention in town? Right? Is this for an HR event? What's really going on in your realm?
I'm not an avid skier, but I don't think I've ever seen anybody purchase that for the reason it was invented.
Once. Almost died. Never went back.
Did you wear a ski mask?
There was not one ski mask.
Right.
And you get really hot when skiing. You will take, if you are wearing a ski mask, you are going to take that off. You get hot. I have never seen anyone, ladies and gents, please post pictures of yourself wearing ski masks. If.
You're skiing.
Because
I don't think.
Not if you're in a supermarket with an AR. All right.
That's what I'm saying. So as a clerk, when you see somebody purchase these, right, wouldn't you have questions? Where, at what point would you as a clerk say, hey, I just got these guys who bought this.
Now what do we do?
No, I know you can't. Yes. I know you can't. But you know what? You know what it's for.
If you're working in a gun shop and someone purchases an AR and a ski mask, you can't call him black.
That's a good point.
How are they still selling ski masks in the middle of these stores at like 10 p.m.? Like, it's totally cool. Like, maybe there's a ski mask like sell time cutoff at like 3 p.m. Past 3 p.m.
I was downtown and I saw this guy with a peach colored ski mask. This is downtown Florida.
Peach colored ski mask.
It looked pretty cool. You know, when you think about urban, he had it rolled up.
Okay.
But when he rolls it down, of course, it's now a ski mask. Peach colored. I don't know what kind of actions this guy's going to do, but
not very tactical.
It's a peach colored ski mask. Yeah, like, I will
describe the perp. It's peach color.
Yeah.
Ski mask.
And be under the peach color. Exactly. So it's like, you know, I'm not seeing why are they still selling ski masks?
I don't know, but with this story, when JC and I were talking about it, I think it was a month ago, it was before all this other stuff came out, and we were talking about it, and I don't know if it was JC or me that caught it, that they said that he was walking around alone, like 10:30 at night, and somebody just grabbed him, and it was just random. And I think I'm the one who brought up, I don't know if it was JC, like, who walks around with a noose? Who walks around with that? It just in the event
maybe you could have told
somebody with a new AAA. Just call AAA. But then it wasn't until later on that everything else broke that there were some other things that I caught, like, oh, wait a minute. Now I know this is BS. Like, the cop showed up, a half hour later, and he still had it around his neck when they knocked on the door. It's almost as if.
Maybe
it was
a Burberry noose.
This is. This is so horrific. Let me just leave it on for another half of what. Anyway, so that the reason I bring up that story is because that opened up some old wounds. It really did. Mm-hmm. About trust. It opened up some old wounds about how quickly a news story travels and the court of public opinion. Because a lot of people started jumping in saying, I can't believe this happened. And again, without waiting to see all the evidence. And then all the evidence started coming out.
And it's like, yo, this guy's a jerk. So, you know, when you hear it at first, you're like this, no, you know, you feel for him. rightfully so. Mm-hmm. Then when you find out that it's so now, whatever, however you felt bad for him, now I feel quadruple like you're an idiot for him. Because for those people that this is something that really happened.
Boom. There you go.
You're an asshole.
Yep.
You're an asshole because you now made a mockery of someone else's reality. This is things that happen to real people, and they were not joking around about it. And you did it for publicity. How many likes do you really need on Instagram?
Oh, he got it.
Yeah.
Oh, he's famous. I mean, if he wanted to be famous for the wrong reasons, but he's famous, though. Yeah. I don't know. I'm just waiting for the.
His career is done.
I don't know. I'm pretty sure in about 20 years there'll be a lifetime special about him.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, but you know what?
OJ got one.
I hope.
I mean, OJ got a special.
I don't know how OJ gets a girlfriend these days, but
true. But I'm sure there'll be a special somewhere.
If I was a female and was gonna date OJ, I would go there wearing like an armor. Like I would be in all steel.
Like, what would you think about that? Like, what would that come to your mind,
man? If I was, I'd be like this, OJ. This is gonna be our second date, and I just want you to know, not today. It won't happen.
I don't know who thinks about that.
All this is stab proof, buddy.
What the hell? JC, we've officially lost.
All right, I've got one more for you. If you're ready, do you want it or no?
One more.
He's late to a pool party.
This is a follow-up on the past 3 weeks of what we've been talking about out in California with the laws potentially going in place and the reclassification of workers and independent contractors still very high up on the current event chart right here. So Assemblywoman Gonzalez out in California said in an interview this past week that she intends to include a carve-out in her bill. And her bill specifies that difference between independent contractors and employees. But she wants a carve out in the bill for hairstylists and barbers to remain independent contractors, but not specifically for truckers, saying that historically, truckers have been employees. This story from pewtrusts.org continues on. To further get into drivers, Lyft is also working with drivers and lawmakers to find a potential middle ground between having to formally define if someone is an employee or independent contractor. Quote, we are engaging with drivers, labor, and policymakers to actively explore options to allow drivers to maintain this flexibility while also addressing the lack of benefits for independent contractors. So, simply put, California, the law is moving forward. They're developing tests so that employers take these tests to determine and define whether or not the employees are employees or independent contractors. And then every single lawmaker and or special interest along the way, because there are a few different companies that are listed here, are striving for cutouts so that they could have a special classification to keep that hairstylist or that. It didn't mention anything about the poll workers like you brought up previously, Rick. But
yeah. Okay. God bless them.
So
can I chime in here?
Go ahead.
So what's the reason for this? Is this for healthcare coverage? Are we looking at this now because if they're an employee, now you have to provide healthcare coverage. If they're an independent contractor, they have to find it on their own. Is it now as an employee that they have to, they can get that healthcare coverage, which now puts a higher cost on, let's say, Lyft or Uber or whatever the case may be, or these truck drivers, that now you have to provide healthcare coverage. So you're going to pay less because more comes out of your pocket. Or is it because of the fact that these guys want to work when they want to work and they don't care about healthcare coverage, but yet they get paid at a higher rate? What's the reason for this?
See, I don't know. I don't know why.
A little bit of it all across the board. Some of this goes back to, like, in 2013, Governor Christie, he vetoed a bill over in that would have automatically classified truck drivers as employees and imposed harsh penalties against trucking companies misclassifying the drivers. There's a lot of a lot of things that are up in the air when it's the employer's consideration as to the benefits package, the way that they're paying the taxes. Is this just a reoccurring cost to pay for an independent contractor at X amount of dollars? And then you bring them on board as an employee. You might have that benefits package that goes along with it. So it really goes into the framework and the root of the way an organization gets set up at the end of the day. And this has been hotly debated going back to 2004. Yeah. And even further, Dynamex, a delivery and logistics company that ships goods to consumers, in 2004, they reclassified its employees from employees as independent contractors. And then drivers had to use their own vehicles and cover work-related expenses such as liability insurance, fuel, and vehicle repairs. That's where drivers pushed back, taking legal action to preserve that employee status. So California is getting those books in line, trying to get the laws on the books, getting things moving forward on getting that classification in place. And yes, health care and benefits are a huge consideration here. Absolutely. Yeah.
I saw it coming.
Yeah. So Jay, you're right. It's that could be a consideration as well, but it's give and take, right? Because for the employees, for them, they can come in and leave when they want. They can, because they can't be told now what the schedule is, because they're a 1099 employee or 1099 worker, excuse me. From an employer's perspective, from that perspective, they can now save a lot of money in payroll tax and benefits, and sick leave, because I'm assuming this is a response to all the sick leave ordinance that are coming out there.
But and, now they and, have to pay more.
And now when you take a look at the different industries, specifically including Uber and Lyft in California, this has large repercussions for Uber and Lyft to then classify every single driver as an employee. And then that radically changes the landscape and then puts more pressure and onus back on the taxi companies and the taxi cabs that are out there. It makes you wonder if laws like this, as they're being brought up, have deeper roots as technology is advancing with Uber and Lyft. Come on. Right.
Of course they are. You know, the taxi unions across the U.S. have rallied against Uber and Lyft because hugely. Yes. Hugely is the word. Of course they are. So, and I think, I don't know if we talked about this before, but as far as the taxi drivers, they put so much effort. So they put so much effort and so much thought into fighting what Uber and Lyft are doing, instead of saying, wow, they've innovated. How can we innovate to be competitive as well? Because they don't want to change.
Let me tell you something. Let's say the Taxi and Limousine Commission in New York, they created this monster. I'm going to tell you how.
How?
Back in the days, you lived in a certain area. You cannot catch a cab in New York City and say, I want to go to the Bronx or whatever.
Okay. Yep.
You know, so they created this monster.
You're right about that.
And then on top of that, a taxi medallion costs so much money. It's a big deal. It's more than the cost of a house for a medallion. So now not everyone could get into this, but you guess what? You guys do your thing in this city.
We'll innovate.
We will innovate. And now when you go to Manhattan, every car has TLC plates. But yet it's a Honda Civic or something like that. So now everybody's doing Uber and Lyft. Everybody's now working for themselves. Yep. They work when they want to work. And all the TLC yellow cabs are pissed off. They're cutting into our funds. But guess what? Maybe not you, but some of your other drivers did not want to go to these far areas or did not. So now you're pissed off. But guess what? You guys created this monster. You forced an industry to be created because you guys didn't want to pick up certain people because of color, didn't want to go to certain neighborhoods because it was too far. But guess what? Now your competition is tenfold.
Yep. No, you know what? And as soon as you said that, I started nodding because I was in New York City a couple of years ago for work, and I'm trying to get a cab, trying to get to the airport. Three cabs. I pulled them over. They're like, hey, where you going? I'm like, LaGuardia. I'm not going now. It just took off. Yep. Don't even say goodbye, nothing. And I'm like, three cabs. It took me a while. Well, guess what I did?
You called the cab.
Uber. Now, he couldn't drop me off at the airport, but but he dropped me off right by the train station where it would take me there, because I guess back then they weren't allowed at the airport. Now they are. But you're 100% right. They created that monster. Now that they created it, they're upset. And instead of saying, let's innovate just how they did, no, let's explain why they're not a good idea so we can keep our status quo.
No, innovation is what runs this world. Everyone, we all have to innovate. When a monster is created, figure out the way to kill the monster.
Yep. You're right. That's what happened to Blockbuster.
Oh, there's still one left.
I thought that closed.
No, there's one.
One in Australia. In Australia, right?
One.
There's one left.
There's one left. Out of how many back in their heyday?
Hey, listen, I got the all funniest story. The funniest story before I leave.
Yeah.
I go to a Blockbuster. This is when I first met my wife. We go to the Blockbuster video. We used to get movies. We used to watch them. You know, that's the things you do when you're dating.
Mm-hmm.
Stuff doesn't even happen now. So
nobody's ever heard of Netflix and chill.
Netflix and chill. And when you're married, it's just Netflix. There's no chill.
Netflix and pay the goddamn bill.
Exactly.
Pay the bills.
So we were going to the Blockbuster video, and there was an entrepreneur in there. He was the manager of Blockbuster and was selling bootleg movies out of Blockbuster.
The manager?
The manager was selling. So we are going to Blockbuster to rent movies or buy them, but this guy is selling movies that are in the theater now with great quality.
Hey, I heard he later became the HR director for Richmond County. Started trafficking opiates.
Hey, they're all entrepreneurs. Everybody's trying to get ahead in life. They all they're only doing it because they want to get their kids into the proper college.
You got that right.
It's not for them, it's for the kids. We're doing it for the kids.
So how many movies did you buy?
Shh, man, listen. What? I was getting, it was on my way home. We were getting movies like we ain't never watched so many damn movies.
So I guess back then it was what? Those VHS cameras?
No, it wasn't that far back. Oh my gosh.
So you're talking about cell phone video?
No, but I guess they send them to the Academy Awards, whatever, and then people sell them, whatever. But we were watching movies that were in the theater. I'm glad as a consumer of these things, I can't be charged. I hope not. If so, I ain't watching the dang thing.
You watch something. You're good. You're good.
But I mean, this is the someone that worked in Blockbuster.
That is crazy.
Selling movies that Blockbuster didn't provide. So he was making a ton of money.
Yeah, he was.
And Blockbuster is now out of business.
Because of him. Because that's what happened. Somebody would come to the counter with a Ghostbusters. Put that back. I got part two. It's in the theaters right now. Here you go. Go ahead and put that back.
Blockbuster.
Let me charge you $8 for this popcorn.
Been more innovative. And all of today's companies should be more innovative. Listen, Walmart need not complain about Amazon. Be more innovative.
Yes.
Toys R Us went out of business. Opportunity now came about. Everyone buys their toys from Amazon. Hey, it's a reality.
Mm-hmm.
But guess what? When Toys R Us went out of business, Walmart had the opportunity to take over that toy business. You have that brick and mortar store, you should have Walmart toys.
Yep.
You know, Target.
Take that opportunity.
Target toys. Listen, don't look at things as someone's being predatory. Look at it as an opportunity to provide yourself into something bigger and better. Now, I just really want to say that with Walmart and Target, if you guys are looking for somebody that, hey, I'm here.
Okay.
I charge a pretty penny, but I'm incredibly innovative.
He's here. Hey, Walmart, Target, if you're listening, he is very innovative. He will keep a close eye of people clocking in and clocking out over at the time clock.
Oh, yes.
So I will keep a
lot eye on all them ladies. There will be no dudes. I'm like this. Go ahead. Don't care.
Oh, man. Hey, JC, how long have we been on?
Well, we're nearing the hour and a half mark. 1 hour, 23 minutes so far right now. Just about.
That's all it took for me to get a divorce.
Not yet. Dude, you got to go to that pool party. All right.
Ooh, child.
All right. So, okay. We're done here. But you know what? We want to bring you back because we want to talk about innovation. That is one topic that I think we could spend another hour and a half on. So we definitely want to get you back for that, sweet baby Jay. But, man, it is awesome having you here.
All right. So going around the room real quick, some final thoughts. Sweet baby Jay, over to you to start.
Be innovative. Don't be innovative in the workplace. Add to the workplace. If you have great ideas, share them with your boss. If you have negative ideas, keep that shit to yourself. It can cost you your job. You know, you now looking for ways to provide for your family. If you want to wear something provocative, though your coworkers may enjoy it, understand that some of them may not. Keep that joint for when you go into the twerk contest. Keep it out of the workplace. Work is work. Play is play. Try not to mix the two.
There you go.
Final thoughts over on my end. Toys R Us is planning to come back. They're exiting bankruptcy here under a new name called True Kids. And they've got an outlook for Mattel. That's pretty much it on that front right there. Past that, I had a great time today. It was good being here. Thanks for having me on your show, Rick.
You're welcome for being on, you're welcome for being on our show. Appreciate that. No, so look, at the end of the day, what do we get out of here today? What do we get? We got out that you need to be innovative. That's how we ended. But at the end of the day, you got to be reasonable. Reasonable in what you wear at work. You got to be reasonable in how you act at work. But you've got to have that reasonable side of your common sense to come out at one point or another. So that's how I leave it. I'll leave it like that. But folks, you can definitely let us know how we did today, especially how you feel about Sweet Baby Jay being a special guest today. You can find us on Twitter at PodcastHR or Facebook.
I like that.
Facebook and Instagram, HR Talk Podcast. Email us, HRTalkAtBiasco.com, or you can call us at 407-501-8425.
Can I say something?
Yes, sir. How can people reach you?
Come to my house. No, please don't do that. Right now, I'm setting all that stuff up, but what I will say is if you have any HR complaints against me, bring it to me.
There you go.
In any restaurant.
And ladies and gentlemen, with that being said, I'm JC. On behalf of Ricky Baez, I do want to say it's been our pleasure. Drive safe. Have a good night.